One of the things I liked about the project, and one of the reasons also why I assigned this project, was to help students see that literature is not just text in a book. It is something that you can approach it from different perspectives. You can approach it from, you know, historical perspectives, and that's something they know. But once they research and look at pictures and work with material that represents the era, or a student looking into immigration from, you know, 20th century and the reasons behind this immigration and comparing it with our current immigration context in the U.S., I think that enriches their experience and interaction with literature.
Hi, faculty. From time to time, I have interviewed professors who are attempting more creative approaches to a course's final project than a paper. Dr. Liana Hokobian, a visiting assistant professor of Spanish, created one such assignment. Her multimedia digital assignment requires students not only to compose a research analysis, but also contribute 5 to 8 media pieces that contribute to these analyses. These multimedia can include images, videos, graphical representations, maps, etc. And among the pieces, students can also contribute their own works of art. The compilation is then posted on a class blog, adding a performative element that allows students to see and enjoy each other's work. If any of you are looking to add a digital creative research project to next semester's course, I hope you'll consider Dr. Hokobian's digital project. So we're talking about a digital project, multimedia project, yeah. Do you mind just telling us what your particular multimedia project is?
Sure. Students were asked to research a theme, a literary genre, a cultural concept, or a historical era, or any other element that interested them in relation to the texts studied in class. I asked them to choose from five to eight multimedia pieces, like images, videos, graphical representations, music, maps, that they would accompany by a text that offers an analysis of the elements and explains their relevance to the topic of study. So this way, students would have a more interdisciplinary way to approach the text or authors we studied in class and the topics and the issues that were reflected in this text. And I also invited students to contribute creative pieces if they were so inclined, or connected to their major field of study or their another minor that they have.
So specifically, what sort of creative contributions did they make?
I have one student who is a Spanish minor and a creative writing major. And she comes from a Mexican background. And when we were studying Sandra Cisneros, for example, and Latinx poetry and Latinx texts, I dedicated a few classes to studying, you know, transnational identities in Latinx and Chicanx literature. So she decided to, I don't know how it happened, but a poem we were reading, which is titled I Am Joaquin, it's about the Chicano movement and the Chicano identity. The poem makes references to this Aztec deity. And by some coincidence, my student had written a poem with similar references to this deity, but she had never seen this text, this poem. It was a very big discovery for her, and she was amazed that, you know, she had made this reference, and she had connected it to her own identity as a Latina woman. But in a way, these two different poems written to, you know, half a century apart came together in this project, and she was able to connect and analyze, and I really liked the discovery that came with it for her. Yeah. One of my students, who is a music minor, composed a song, and for the first time she actually wrote lyrics in Spanish. And she was inspired to do that after we studied different poems and different poets from Latin America and Spain. And she did a study abroad in Chile, and she brought a book with her by Nicanor Parra, a collection of poetry poems, and she picked three poems, identified the themes that kind of spoke to each other, and mixed the different verses and came up with her own interpretation and with her own lyrics for her song.
Oh, wow.
So it was a really cool project and a very personal one, and I really appreciated that my students felt comfortable enough to bring something so personal.
Student Jordan Isopa.
Tenemos solo seis alternativas. Ayer la presenté y mi Ana se dijo. Si quiero todo seis por pienso yo. Ayer es ayer lo de año pasado.
So I notice here that you've got essentially four parts to your digital project. There's the introduction to the topic and why you picked it. There's the research part, and then there's the multimedia pieces, and then finally the works cited page. I'm interested in how you felt the first two sections went along well, because what I see is you're allowing them a lot of levity as far as being able to choose their topic, mm-hmm. but then you're also letting them explain why they picked it.
Sure. I wanted students to do something they really felt passionate about or research a topic, which they can still do with a regular research paper. But I felt like having them explore and go beyond a research paper would give them more space to explore this interest. For example, if someone is is into digital technologies, they could, use this to bring that, or, these creative projects that I mentioned. One example of a project, one of the students did on surrealism, and he was really interested to see these elements of surrealism in some of the texts from Latin America that we read, and he decided to research it, and his project actually made references to surrealist photography, art, film, and he also connected it to recent videos, music videos. He explained that he was really interested in these two texts that we read by Cortázar and Borges, and those elements, which are also part of The Marvel is Real, and Borges has all these layers of, and this play between dreams and reality, so he wanted to explore that, and his research led him to surrealism and how it started in Europe. The result really amazed me. I was really satisfied by how it turned out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what I'm kind of noticing is that you're allowing them to voice their investment in the project up front. But letting them have a place to actually kind of voice that within the project itself, I think, is an interesting addition to, and almost like a pre-writing type of exercise in some ways. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I asked them to express their interests, talk to me about their topic so I could direct them, mm-hmm. because some of the students said, oh, I want to study this, I like this, the idea of studying this historical era, for example, the Galician immigration, and its reflection in one of the texts we'd read, but she didn't know, where to go, so I was able to kind of work with her. Same with another student who was interested to see how censorship worked in Spain during the Franco regime, but she wasn't sure what to turn to. She came and she expressed her interest, and I kind of guided her to films and novels, so she was able to expand from there.
We got to talk about the platform, because this is not students handing in just a piece of paper and saying, here's my project. So what did you use to house the multimedia project?
I used WordPress. Initially, I wasn't very fond of the idea of using a blog platform, but essentially WordPress is a content management tool. And it just allowed us to post pictures, embed music files, or anything else. So I thought that was the best free tool that students could use, and it's also very intuitive. So I showed, I included a tutorial with the instructions, with the guidelines, and also showed them in class how to upload images. But there are very, you know, basic actions that we do on an everyday basis. So no student expressed, you know, any shared any about any difficulties that experience. So
it sounds like you're interested in reusing it. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. So identify a couple of the ways that you would like to make improvements. I mean, you've mentioned, first of all, that you might look into allowing students to access it with their own identification of some kind. And then you just mentioned this thing about getting approval with some of the multimedia that they included. Can you expound on some of those things that would change for the next time?
Sure. So that would be one of the things, and mandatory one-on-one meeting with the professor. That's not optional to help you, but rather part of the project, so you have to come in for office hours. The multimedia part, I found that some students would, you know, look for videos or any other material, but an image is a multimedia component, but if it's a picture of the author, you really did not have to do a lot of research to come across the picture. So I would probably set clear rules this time that adding a picture of the author doesn't count as one of the required multimedia components. Your multimedia component has to add to your research, and you have to analyze it within the context of your research and of the topic you're looking into.
This podcast is a production of the Teaching and Learning team at the College of Charleston. My name is Dr. Michael Overholt, and I directed and produced the podcast. Special thanks to Liana Jacobian for speaking with me about her multimedia project, and Jordan Esopa for sharing her song with us. You can find a PDF of the multimedia assignment below the podcast play bar, as well as an MP3 of Jordan's composition. Thank you, Dr. Jacobian and Jordan. If you have an assignment or teaching strategy that you think other faculty would like to learn of or use, please contact me at overholtm@cofc.edu. That's overholtm@cofc.edu. Thank you.